The Old Testament lesson is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 10 through 20. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them, and what benefit are they to the owner, except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain since he toils for the wind? All his days he eats in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink, to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him. For this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work. This is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. The epistle lesson is the fourth chapter of Hebrews, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, today, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The gospel lesson is from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 23 to 31. And out of respect for the gospel, please stand as you are able. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, We have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with this them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. This ends the gospel reading.
As I listened to the words of that hymn, I didn't sing them, I just read them. And listening to that, it made me put a perspective on what I prepared for today, because what I prepared for today is about dealing with God's word to us in the Old Testament, not Ecclesiastes, but I've been reading Ecclesiastes. It just so happens I've been reading it this past week, and I read through it, through that book, and that was kind of neat to see as I came to church, and I go, oh, Ecclesiastes. And then I started reading Hebrews, and I go, oh, I'm reading devotions on the people in the Old Testament, and they're leaving the land of Egypt way south, down that way, and God says, okay, I'll deliver you, and I'll bring you to a new place, a promised land, a new home, a new place. I will be your God. You will be my people. And let's go there. So God, we read the Old Testament and the retelling of that story and the Psalms, the book of Psalms, retell that story over and over again, how God delivers the people. He shows his might and his power and his love and his grace for his people. They were in bondage for 400 years. They knew what it was like. There was horrible slavery, harsh slavery. And so then he delivers them out of the hand of his enslaved people, out of the hands of those who were enslaving them, and the Pharaoh, and they chase after them. Their backs are against the wall, the Red Sea, and he delivers them from the hand of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and they go through the Red Sea, and they're traveling north, and they get to the Promised Land. Now, when I was younger, this didn't sink in. The pastors could preach to me and teach to me. I wasn't listening close enough. They get there, and what happens? They send the slaves into the land and go check it out. And they check it out, and the land and the place is beautiful. It's just wonderful. It's gorgeous. Honey, it's trees. Everything. It's great grapes, and they bring back different fruits, and they bring back the wonderful news of the land, but terrible news about the people. We are like grasshoppers to them in their sights. They're huge. They got fortified cities. There's no way we can take this land. And the 10 of the spies gave a bad report, and 2 of them said, no, don't do this horrible thing. Go in. Let's take the land. God will help us do it. Let's go. And all the people said no. In fear, in, God says, in unbelief, in disobedience, the people refused to go in. They refused to go to battle into the land, and God swore, he made a vow, they will never enter my rest. Now go. And they wouldn't go. I go, oh, no, no, we're going to go in and fight. Don't go in and fight. You go in and fight, I won't be with you. You'll be destroyed. You'll be killed. They went in. They lost. And that's when, this is why they went and traveled around 40 years in the desert. It wasn't as if God couldn't deliver them into bring them into the promised land. It was because the first generation of people, the leaders, the adults, that first generation of adults disobeyed. They disbelieved. They acted out of fear and unbelief, And God goes, go, you'll never enter my promised land. Now go. And they left. And God wandered them through the wilderness, Moses with the leader and Aaron, as they traveled in the wilderness. And they traveled in the wilderness for 40 years because God allowed that first generation of people to die. Not one adult, except a handful of people, went into the promised land of that first generation of adults. They failed to go because of disbelief and disobedience. I know it's not fun news to hear about, but it was written in the Bible so that we could be warned, reminded, encouraged, just like it did today in the epistle reading, where it said it two different ways. That in the beginning, do you know what was the last thing in the beginning of creation? What did God do on the last day of creation? He rested. He created rest. He created rest. God didn't need to rest, but he goes, I'm going to make rest. This is a day of rest. Isn't that neat? That from the beginning of creation, the last thing he did was rest. He created a day of rest. And guess where we are going when we're done living in this world? To rest with God. To dwell with God forever. And then he says, at the same time, they will never enter my rest. It was a bad thing. God loved all of the people. But that first generation, God made a vow, you will not enter my rest because of disobedience and disbelief. And they died. They perished in the desert. And they never made it to that earthly promised land. And more important, far more valuable than an earthly promised land that we would live, it became a symbol of eternal promised land. And Paul says, this happened for a reason, for you and I to be warned and encouraged. Warned to go, watch out, because disbelief and disobedience, when you disobey and disbelieve God, when you make choices and decisions out of unbelief, this can happen. But it's an encouragement too, because just like Pastor Dave talked last week, where Jesus looked at the young man, he was rich, he goes, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I got to do? Well, you know the commands. Well, what are they? You got to do this, this, this. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Honor your mom and dad. The authority is over you. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not slander. Do not covet. Okay, I did all these since I was a young boy, Jesus. And says, Jesus looked at the man and loved him. And then he says, you lack, this is what you lack. If you want to do to get to heaven, this is what you lack. You got to be perfect in your love. You have to love me. So sell everything, give it to the poor, follow me. You have it. And he went away sad. And as Pastor said, he went away sad, and we went away sad because he couldn't do it. There was no possible way he could do it. But that's why Jesus loved him. He looked at him and loved him, just like he looked at those old people in the Old Testament and loved them. He goes, I created a promised land for you. I want you to go there. I don't want to be your God, and you can be my people. And then they get there, and they go, no, we don't want to enter. We're too scared. We're too afraid. What must I do, Jesus? Jesus loved the man. He loves you. He loves me. He's going, he went to the cross to do what we were lacking to do. He fulfilled it for us. He loved God perfectly. He laid down his life. He did what we can't do. What must we do to be saved, God? How can we enter your rest? Well, they didn't get it the first time. Well, you got to be perfect. What must we do, Jesus? Well, can a camel go through the eye of a needle? Can a camel go through the eye of a needle? No. Well, it's impossible for man to save himself. What hope do we have? What comfort do we have? But what's impossible for you, for mankind, it's possible with God. All things are possible with God. Oh. All things are possible with God. Question. Are you doing everything you possibly can to enter the rest God is giving you? Are you doing all you can to go, oh, that rest is for me. What God has is for me. I want it. I need it. Where can I get it? How can I get it? For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The word of God is alive and active. Are you doing all you can to enter the rest God's giving you? The rest of God's word that teaches you, tells you about the relationship with God has with you and wants with you and is creating with you. Are you entering it or are you disobeying it? And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow, that's power. This is real power. This is real entrance into God's rest for you and me. Are we doing all we can to enter that rest? The rest God created and wants you and me to have an experience. One more story because it just happened. I went hunting with my friend yesterday. My buddy, he's not my friend, he's my hunting buddy, Tony. And friend too, Laura says. Okay, fine. I didn't think I had friends. My hunting buddy. And we went to an area, and we're in an area, and he goes, we got to check this area out, and there's deer like crazy. I go, yeah, I know. I've been waiting for you to come here so we can go, yeah, look at all these deer. So we go there. We see these deer. We got to put a tree stand up. I go, yeah, that looks like a good area to put this tree stand up. Okay, let's go put it up. So I grab a tree stand, and we put it up. And I get to the truck, and I'm in the truck, and I'm looking up, and I look up, and here comes Tony falling down. And the way it worked out, he was facing the tree. As he's facing the tree, he reaches out and grabs a limb. And he's able to grab a whole lens because the entire tree stand went drop. It dropped all the way down. Long story short, to the hospital, he's okay, at home, he's in a sling, everything's fine, got him out of the tree, got him in the truck, got him home, got him packed up. He wanted to go to the doctor at home, so he goes to the cities. Goes to there, he's fine, everything is okay, no broken bones, no strains. Okay. He goes, you better go into that stand. I go, there ain't no way I'm going into that stand. We put it up. What happened? We used a tree stand. We used the safety belts. The safety belts were on there, part of the tree stand. But I believe through time, them straps became rotted. I didn't know it. He didn't know it. We didn't realize it. And I looked at the straps. I've got the straps. I was going to go home and get them because I put them on the counter, and I was shook. I was so shook. And those straps It didn't show rot. But they were. Through time, through stress, through pressure, through no rest. And then when it was stressed, they broke. What are you and I relying on, trusting on, trusting in this world of stress and pressure that we are hoping that has our back? Is it God or is it not? If it's God, we're in His hands, His all-powerful, all-protecting hands. If we fall, we fall. We fall into His hands, and whatever happens, happens. But there's a fall that happens because of disbelief and disobedience that we can never fall from and still be okay. Are you strapped in? Are you strapped in to the one that saves your soul from hell? I can't make this up. This happened after I wrote the sermon 3 times, right, Julie? And I'm going, really? Even my best top 3 sermon isn't good enough? You want me to tell you this story? You want me to tell them this story? And I go, we prayed about it. It's the 4th sermon. God loves you and me to hell and back again. He's fallen. The fall that we deserve. The wages of sin is death. The wage of one sin is death. The sin of disbelief, the sin of unbelief and disobedience. Any one sin, the wage of it is death. But, the gift of God is eternal life. The gift God gives is eternal life. Are you strapped in it? Are you holding it? Does it got a hold of you? Is it in you, on you, with you? Then we're doing all we can to enter God's rest. God's given it to us. It's ours. Ever since creation, this last day of creation, He created that rest, and then He brought Jesus Christ on the cross. To pay the price for us to enter rest, I honestly don't think, sorry, but this is going to be respectful, I don't think we need this in heaven. Why? Because we'll be at rest. We'll be so at rest, we'll be in joy forever. I don't think there'll be enough time to rest because we'll be celebrating the rest, the eternal rest God's given to us in Jesus Christ. May He be the safety belt that straps us in for this life into the next. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that peace of God that passes all understanding, guard and keep our faith in Jesus Christ, our safety strap for all eternity. Amen.